This is David Duke. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent wherever they may live. And I first want to begin by making a bit of an apology. Yesterday we had a very good program, I think. We broadcast it live. We had some technical difficulties. We've been having some computer crashes over here. And we lost the program. We were crunching it to get ready for download. So it's really unfortunate that happened, but that's the way life turns. It would be a very big help to me if more of you would record the program with the streaming software. You can, for instance, look on Google and find Audio Recorder for free, version 5.6. That's a perfect example. There's many of them out there. They're free downloads, and you can literally record streaming audio from many sites that you can't usually record. Sometimes the way they do it in certain programs is they simply stream. They don't make it readily available for you to record a program. And with this machine, or with this very simple software, you can record right off of the net for free. It's a very simple program. And if those of you who would like to record my shows just for a safeguard and a backup force, you can erase the program later, that's fine. If you record it in a 128 format, that would be plenty good enough. Now today I got a special show for you. A few years ago I wrote a letter, an open letter to the FBI, which I've revised, and I want to share that letter with revisions for you now. This is a very important letter, I think, because it's timely. As you know, Zacharias Moussaoui, the individual who was convicted of terrorism in the United States, is facing a decision on whether he will receive the death penalty. Now, the prosecutors have been very adamant that he should receive the death penalty because he knew about the 9/11 attacks in advance and did nothing to warn the American people. And they said, and I can quote them, that he is absolutely as guilty of these crimes. If he would have simply gave information of these attacks, these thousands of lives would be saved and the horror and tragedy of 9/11 would have been averted. So they're saying, the government's saying, that he deserves the death penalty for not giving out advanced knowledge. And of course, this is pretty much the case, ladies and gentlemen. If you basically know someone's going to murder someone, say a child or anyone, and you don't come forward and do something to stop it, you're an accessory. You're guilty of that crime. And I can tell you something. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of this man's case, but I wouldn't mind him getting the full penalty of the law. No question about it. But ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about this issue in the course of this letter. I think it's a very powerful letter. Many times we have a tendency to believe that everyone in federal service is in the employ or the service of the Jewish extremists, the Jewish supremacists, the so-called neocons that seem to dominate our policy. And that's just not true. For instance, you've had a very interesting case with the obviously the Jonathan Pollard case, where very loyal and pro-American FBI personnel prosecuted the individual who spied on us, Jonathan Pollard, on behalf of Israel, and devastated our Secret Service and our CIA and many of the operatives in Europe. There were operatives for America were in fact eliminated because of the information that he gave to Israel, which Israel in turn bartered for whatever purposes Israel had. This has been documented by many sources. Even Caspar Weinberger, who, by the way, is of Jewish descent, said that Pollard should never be let out of jail. He committed an incredible atrocity against the United States of America. So there were certainly decent FBI men there. I can't say that they always do the right thing, and most policemen do basically what they're told, just like most people in any sort of work do, and they happen to be in law enforcement. And sometimes people in law enforcement, I think, should stand up and do something counter to their orders. If a question of the violation of the Constitution has come up, or when someone is being treated unfairly or unjustly, there's no question about that. I think they have a responsibility. When a FBI agent swears an allegiance to the Constitution of the United States, I think that means he swears an allegiance to also the rights and privileges of the United States. There are certainly some bad apples in the FBI, and I certainly believe that there are patriots there. We see the AIPAC case, where the FBI made quite a good case against AIPAC, our American Israel Public Affairs Committee, leaders, officials, for espionage for Israel. We had FBI agents who arrested the five Mossad agents who were caught celebrating the 9/11 attacks. I'm going to get to that in this letter, but so I'm going to make an appeal here, a direct appeal, which I'm going to send off to the FBI, an appeal, an open letter to the FBI, to those men in the service, in the Federal Bureau of Investigation, who still believe in the things that I believed in as a young American, and find themselves ever in an increasing society where we're losing our way as American people. So here it goes. So I'm going to share an open letter I've written to the FBI about Israeli treachery and terrorism against America and the American treason that supports it. Here it is. To every member of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI. I believe that most members of the FBI are good Americans, loyal Americans. Many of you had the dream of becoming an FBI agent since your childhood. You wanted to do something patriotic and good for America. You wanted to defend America from her enemies. I'm sure that many of you over the years have become quite disillusioned by the direction taken by an expanding federal government and the erosion of the freedoms of the American people. Yet, so many of you have clung to your childhood dreams and remained in the FBI believing that you could be of service to the people of the United States. It is to you that I address this letter, because never before in our long history has America faced a greater danger from both within and without our borders. In this letter, I want to point out a clear and present danger to the United States, and will sincerely ask you to show great courage in defending America from a powerful enemy. Every official takes an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States. I took such an oath when I was elected to the House of Representatives in Louisiana, and also when I was elected as chairman of the Republican Party in one of the districts of Louisiana. You took one when you became a member of the FBI. It is your job to enforce the laws of the United States. Probably your most important task is defending America from foreign espionage and treason, both by foreign nationals and by individuals who are technically American citizens but act in a way that harms our country on behalf of a foreign country. Nothing shows the importance of your task more than the great tragedy of September 11. I and every American hope that you successfully apprehend and punish to the full extent of the law every terrorist who dares to strike at our country. But in this letter, I want to call your attention to one foreign nation that has repeatedly spied on and even committed terrorism against the United States. That's right. I said terrorism. And I'll prove this powerful charge. The same nation that has committed terrorism and espionage against America now exerts almost unassailable power even within the government of the United States. And I think you know already what foreign nation I'm speaking about. It is Israel. Your fellow FBI agents uncovered and apprehended the Israeli spy and American traitor Jonathan Pollard. You are probably aware that Pollard stole some of the most vital secrets of American intelligence. Israel then treacherously bartered this vital information to the Soviets, and that heinous act devastated our own intelligence operations in Europe and even caused the death of many of our best and loyal agents in the region. Many U.S. government officials have said that this Israeli spy, Jonathan Pollard, did more damage to America than any other single spy in history. I repeat, more damage to America than any other spy in American history. There have been many other cases of Israeli spying, espionage, and theft against the United States, with ample proof of Israeli spying on our nuclear weapons programs. Israel even stole nuclear material from the United States. If any other country would have done such, it would have been viewed as a blatant act of war. Recently, it's been shown that Israel has even treacherously sold some of America's advanced defense technology to the communist Chinese, a nation that now poses probably the most serious challenge, the most serious long-term threat to America. Much of this, of course, has been swept under the rug by traitors within the United States government who hide the crimes of Israel against us and put Israel's interests above that of the United States. And the American media, which is overwhelmingly in Jewish hands, collaborates with the traitors by covering up the ongoing treason. The espionage and theft against America by Israel are just the tip of the iceberg of Israeli treachery against America. The treacherous actions of Israel in the Jonathan Pollard case should have been enough for all Americans in our government to stop aiding the regime in Tel Aviv. But traitors in the highest levels of the American government have been supporting this rogue state for years, and they have kept the U.S. government supporting Israel even after Israel committed terrorism against the United States of America. I know that this is a shocking statement to some of you, Israeli terrorism against America. I'm sure that you've never heard a single person in the Jewish-controlled press speak about Israeli terrorism against the United States. But I can easily prove Israeli acts of murderous terrorism against our country. I can give you two concrete examples of Israeli terrorism. In the 1950s, Israeli agents blew up American installations in Egypt and attempted to falsely blame the terrorism on the Egyptians and to start a war between the United States and Egypt. The Israelis called their covert action Operation Susanna, a nice American term, and they almost succeeded in their diabolical plan. Luckily, on the way to blowing up the American MGM cinema in Egypt, one of the Israelis' bombs blew up prematurely. Israel's plot was exposed to the world, and its failure led to the resignation of the Defense Minister of Israel, Pinhas Lavan. If you doubt what I say, you can easily dig up the facts for yourself. Even major Jewish magazines talk about it, but the average American knows nothing of it. Naked treason in the United States government caused America to ignore these acts of terrorism against America launched by the Israeli government. If the Egyptian government would have committed these acts of terrorism, America would have rightly responded by acts of war against Egypt, just as America responded when our leaders suspected Libya of sponsoring terrorist activity against us. In fact, that was the whole plan of Israel, to get America to respond to terrorism with acts of war against Egypt, to blame Egypt and get us into a war falsely. Of course, once American officials discovered that the Israelis were behind this terror, we did not strike back at Israel. In fact, American traders in our government continued to send billions of American taxpayers' money and arms to Israel. Imagine. Traitors in the U.S. government sending weapons to a nation that commits terrorism against it. It is the same as if some Americans would have continued to support Japan after Pearl Harbor. Anyone who had given aid and comfort to Japan after the attack at Pearl Harbor would have certainly been tried and convicted as a traitor to America. Now let me tell you about another even more murderous act of Israeli terrorism against America. During the 1967 Israeli-Egyptian War, Israel attacked the USS Navy ship, the Liberty, with unmarked jets and torpedo boats trying to sink our ship. And just as in the Levant affair, they hoped to blame Egypt. Israel even machine-gunned the USS Liberty's deployed life rafts. They were determined to kill every American on board so that there would be no witnesses to their treachery. They attacked the radio towers first so America could not get signal out as to who the true identity of the attackers was. And by the way, I must say that the attack itself, this is a side note, that the attack itself was prevented only by the courage of our soldiers. I'll go back to the letter. Through the courage and resourcefulness of our sailors, they were able to send a message out identifying the real attackers, and these brave Americans miraculously kept the ship afloat. Now, after this attack, it was determined that 34 Americans were killed and 174 wounded on the USS Liberty, many of them horribly burned and maimed. After the Israelis failed to sink the ship, and the Americans sent messages to the Sixth Fleet exposing the true attackers, Israel then claimed it was a mistake. But was it? Both the U.S. Secretary of State at the time, Dean Rusk, and the Chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Moore, have stated and have continued to state over the years that there's no doubt that the attack by Israel was deliberate and treacherous. To show you the power and the extent of Israeli treason in our government, traitors anxious to cover up Israel have been able to prevent, even to this day, a formal congressional investigation into the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. I will invoke the analogy of Pearl Harbor once again. Any American who would have tried to cover up for Japan's attack, or who gave American money or arms to Japan after the Pearl Harbor attack, would have been arrested and tried for treason. Yet Jewish power is so brazen in America, money, arms, and equipment to Israel has continued without pause. Why? The Jewish-dominated media in America continues to tell us, quote, that Israel's our only friend in the Mideast. The truth is, of course, real friends don't commit terrorism, espionage, and treachery against their so-called friends. And secondly, the obvious question must be, why is Israel, quote, our only friend? The answer to that is simply because the support American traitors have given to Israel's crimes against the Palestinians and others. These acts of treason against American interests have turned our former friends into ardent enemies. These enemies are growing rapidly in the world and now hate us so much that they're even willing to sacrifice their lives to kill us. Now, is that truly in the interest of the United States? Is it in our interest to have half of the world hating us and wanting to commit terrorism against Americans here in the United States and wherever we are in the world? In truth, we suffered the horrendous 9/11 attacks primarily because of this Israeli treachery and American treason. The attackers had powerful motivation to sacrifice their lives to get at us. Even bin Laden himself has repeatedly stated that his hatred against America was born from American support of horrendous Israeli crimes against the Palestinians and the Lebanese people. They certainly did not commit this act because they hate our freedom. The attacks occurred precisely because of the fact that Jewish partisans and American traitors have long put Israel's interests over the interests of America. We were told by the Israel First media and their agents in our government the big lie that the attack occurred. The 9/11 attack occurred because Muslims hate our freedom. That lie was told simply so Americans would not begin to realize the terrible damage to the United States caused by our support of the criminal policies of Israel. If Americans understood the clear link between the carnage of 9/11 and our Israeli policy, the American people would rightly ask an obvious question, being, is it really worth it? Is it really in America's interest to support Israel? And now I want to share with you what many of your fellow FBI agents know, but that few Americans know. Israel has a direct responsibility for the 9/11 attacks, no less than Zacharias Moussaoui. That's right. Israel knew the details of the attacks before they occurred and could have easily prevented the carnage. That's right. Israel knew about the attacks ahead of time and even warned many Israeli citizens of the World Trade Center. But Israel purposefully did not warn America. Now, I know that what I'm saying may sound incredible and shocking to some of you who are not directly involved with the 9/11 investigation. But the evidence of this Israeli treachery in regard to 9/11 is very powerful. I will give you some of the evidence for your own evaluation. That's my cheerleading section over there, my friends. My dog that accompanies me and gives me some company as this lonely writer and researcher spends long hours in front of the internet and piled into books and papers researching the data that I can do programs like this with. So give her a break, everybody. Okay, I'll review some of it for your own evaluation. One, not even one Israeli citizen died in the World Trade Center attacks. The fact that there were no Israeli casualties is impossible without at least some Israeli citizens having received a prior warning. The World Trade Center was a center of world finance, brokerage, and trade, areas that have always had a very high involvement of Israelis. In fact, Israelis are tremendously overrepresented in those fields. People often speak of the New York-Israel connection and the tremendous business conducted between the two poles of Jewish power, banking, trade, finance, very heavily represented among Jews and even among Israelis. For instance, the co-owner of the World Trade Center himself is an Israeli citizen. Even tiny and poor nations such as El Salvador had casualties at the World Trade Center. The Jerusalem Post, the day after 9/11, headlined 4,000 Israelis missing at the World Trade Center. Even if only one-tenth of that number of the Israelis were at the World Trade Center, the Israeli death toll should have been very high. At first, the media claimed that 130 Israelis died. Bush repeated this assertion in a speech before Congress. But subsequently, the Israeli death total is reduced to one, and finally, it's been reduced to zero. Now, you can go directly to the official World Trade Center Memorial website and check out this amazing fact for yourself. One Israeli citizen did die, did die on one of the planes that crashed in the World Trade Center, but not a single Israeli citizen died at the World Trade Center. The fact that there were no Israeli casualties is a mathematical absurdity unless at least some Israelis were warned prior to the attack. Two, the FBI uncovered physical evidence of warnings to Israelis. The Washington Post News Bites Internet News Service reported that your fellow FBI agents reported that an Israeli firm, Odigo, with offices both in Israel and the World Trade Center, had received direct and detailed warnings of the attack on the World Trade Center at least 2 hours prior to the attack. So there's physical evidence of prior warning to at least some Israelis at the Trade Center. 3. Israeli spies closely monitored the hijackers. It's been revealed by U.S. intelligence agencies, including the FBI, Secret Service, and DEA, that a huge Israeli spy network has operated in the United States in the months prior to the attack, the largest spy ring ever uncovered in American history, and that prior to the attack, a large number of these Israeli spies were closely monitoring the 9/11 hijackers. In fact, 5 of the Israeli spies listed in the DEA report, with their names and addresses listed, actually lived on the same street in Hollywood, Florida, just a few feet from the hijack leader, Mohammed Atta. Over half of the 9/11 hijackers were being closely monitored by Israeli spies in the United States for months prior to the attack. 4. Israel has a record of terrorism against the United States and is one of the most ruthless terrorists in the world as its prime minister. Ariel Sharon once stated that he would be willing to start World War III if he'd help Israel. And that needs to be fixed from the earlier letter because, of course, Ariel Sharon is no longer the prime minister, but this ruthless terrorist was prime minister at the time of these attacks. 5, Israel had a powerful motive for the crime. Just as in the prosecution of any crime, establishing motive is a vital element. Israel had a public relations nightmare in the months preceding 9/11. Just 4 days before September 11, Associated Press on September 7 ran a story headline, Sharon dares not enter Belgium, fears war crimes indictment. In the months preceding 9/11, photos went around the world showing Palestinian children being shot down. The United Nations International Conference on Racism in South Africa decreed that Israel is a, quote, apartheid state. Before September 11, 2002, many nations around the world were beginning to formally recognize the new Palestinian state. Israel and Ariel Sharon were never in deeper trouble in world opinion. September 11 changed everything and has been used to give Israel the green light to brutally oppress the Palestinian people and wreck the fledgling Palestinian state. Israel is the only nation that benefited from the 9/11 catastrophe. America certainly didn't. Palestinians have never suffered so much as since the attack. Only Israel and Sharon have reaped real benefits in the resulting, quote, war on terror. How else could the, quote, butcher of Beirut, the man responsible for the cold-blooded murders of 1,500 Palestinians at Sabra and Shatila concentration camps, be called a, quote, man of peace and, quote, partner in the fight against terror? 6. Your own fellow FBI colleagues believe that Israel knew the details of this attack before it occurred. The FBI agents who led the investigation of the Israeli spy ring said that the Israelis knew beforehand the details of the 9/11 attacks and purposely held it back from the American authorities. Carl Cameron, investigative reporter, revealed that this on December 13 on the Fox News Network's Brit Hume program. That's December 13, 2001. I will quote some excerpts. Carl Cameron, Fox News correspondent. Since September 11, more than 60 Israelis have been arrested or detained either under the new Patriot anti-terrorism law or for immigration violations. A handful of active Israeli military were among those detained, according to investigators, who say some of the detainees also failed polygraph questions when asked about alleged surveillance activities against and in the United States. Investigators suspect that they, the Israelis, may have gathered intelligence about the attacks in advance and not shared it. Another excerpt, numerous classified documents obtained by Fox News indicate that even prior to September 11, as many as 140 other Israelis have been detained or arrested in a secretive and sprawling investigation into suspected espionage by Israelis in the United States. And in another report, it said specifically, how could the Israelis not have known? It's just absolutely amazing. But let me go on further in this letter. As you are aware, the fact that Israel purposefully let these mass murders and carnage take place makes them just as guilty in the eyes of the law of those who flew the planes into the WTC, just like Zacharias Mazari. It must also rank as one of the greatest betrayals ever recorded in the history of nations. How can Americans tolerate such Israeli treachery against our country? In March, a long report by the DEA became public that detailed a massive Israeli spy operation against hundreds of FBI, DEA, Secret Service, Justice Department, and military facilities. As you're aware from the FBI training, one way that foreign governments cultivate spies and traitors is by developing personal relationships with people in sensitive positions, then learning about and exploiting their weaknesses or even blackmailing them into cooperation. The Israeli spies were attempting to do just that, actually going to the offices and even homes of judges, DEA, Secret Service, FBI agents, using the supposed sale of artwork to try to develop personal contacts and relationships with agents they hoped that they could cultivate. The DEA report, which exposed the spy ring, showed that many of the Israeli agents were known Mossad agents and Israeli military operatives often trained in espionage, explosives, and covert operations. Many of the apprehended had failed lie detector tests administered by your fellow FBI agents. And for those just tuning in, this program I'm referring to a letter, an open letter that I'm writing to the FBI about Israeli treason and treachery in the United States. Israel has also penetrated almost all the telephone systems of the United States and many of those American law enforcement and intelligence agencies. As incredible as it may sound, Carl Cameron revealed that American agencies are now using Israeli firms with ties to the Israeli government to conduct wiretaps in the United States. I'm talking about government wiretaps. Imagine a foreign company with ties to a foreign government, a government that's repeatedly spied upon us, being put in charge of American domestic wiretaps. In one of the most blatantly treasonous acts of recent history, the contracts to do tapping of American telephones and capture were given to Israeli firms financed by the Israeli government and thus tied with the Mossad. This is the same Israeli government that betrayed America with Master Spy Jonathan Pollard. Carl Cameron showed how the Israeli companies even tapped the phones of federal law enforcement officers and a major Israeli drug ring in the United States. That tapping resulted in their escape from justice. The Israeli companies were used to tap the phones of federal agents so as to discover the names of government informants who were then subsequently eliminated by the Israeli mob. So the fact is today that Israeli intelligence can intercept phone calls of targeted American intelligence agencies and exploit those who they find vulnerable, and thus lure some into their spy network against the United States of America. Let me again quote Carl Cameron in discussing the Israeli company Converse Infosys, the Israeli company that performs wiretaps for the United States government intelligence agencies. Quote, Carl Cameron, Fox News correspondent, voiceover. The company is Converse Infosys, a subsidiary of an Israeli-run private telecommunications firm with offices throughout the U.S. It provides wiretapping equipment for law enforcement. Congress insists that the equipment it installs is secure, but the complaint about the system is that the wiretap computer programs made by Converse have, in effect, a back door through which wiretaps themselves can be intercepted by unauthorized parties. Adding to the suspicions is that, in fact, Israel, Converse works closely with the Israeli government and under special programs gets reimbursed for up to 50% of its research and development costs by the Israeli Ministry of Industry and Trade. But investigators within the DEA, INS, and FBI have all told Fox News that to pursue or even suggest Israeli spying through Converse is considered career suicide. And you know what I'm writing to you? To fight this, and to fight it strongly, may be career suicide. But either you're an American and a patriotic one, or you're not. Go on to quote. This is Fox News Network, Carl Cameron. And sources say that while various FBI inquiries into Converse have been conducted over the years, they've been halted before the actual equipment has ever been thoroughly tested for leaks. The 1999 FCC department indicates several government agencies expressed deep concerns that too many unauthorized non-law enforcement personnel can access the wiretap system. Back to my letter. It is a sick and corrupt system when foreign spies can penetrate even American law enforcement and intelligence agencies with impunity. What has happened to America? If an FBI agent who dares to stop a foreign government spying against our country ends up committing career suicide. And perhaps one of the biggest betrayals of American security in history, the over 100 Israeli spies apprehended by the FBI were set free by highly placed officials, in fact, primarily by the man head of Homeland Security, Michael Chertoff, who's also an extremist Jewish partisan. Father was a rabbi, mother was an Israeli. No significant charges were filed against them. As I pointed out earlier in this letter, these Israeli spies were also closely monitoring the terrorists of September 11. Five of them are listed in the DA report as having lived in the same street as Al-Qaeda leader of the September 11 attack, Mohammed Atta. The plain truth is that spies and traitors in the United States government could not afford to have public trials of these Israeli espionage agents. The obvious reason they were let go is to hide from the American people the Israeli involvement and treachery in the 9/11 attack. A full-scale prosecution of these spies would have been bad public relations for Israel and would have certainly made the public more obviously understand the evidence that Ariel Sharon and Israel knew the details of 9/11 in advance and murderously stood back and purposely let the carnage happen against America. If the Israelis would have given the information to the FBI, your fellow agents could have captured all the terrorists easily and prevented the terrible loss of American life and property. Furthermore, allowing the Israeli spies to go free, even those we knew had been monitoring Mohammed Atta and the other September 11 terrorists, hindered any true congressional investigation of the 9/11 attacks. For now, these men who knew so much about Mohammed Atta, the hijack ring, they cannot be called to testify in any investigation. Certainly, the American people have a right to know the details of the greatest terrorist act in American history, but Americans are denied that right. And captured foreign spies are set free so that Americans don't learn of Israeli treachery. After the exposure by Fox News of the massive Israeli spy ring on American soil, I wrote extensively about it in my Duke report and on the Internet. Since that time, I've received a number of anonymous communications from FBI, INS, DEA agents expressing outrage at the treason that they've witnessed within the United States government. How do you feel about this clear treason going on at the highest levels of government? What will it take for you to help stop it? For it's upon you that the American people depend to keep our nation and our families safe. If you don't act to protect us, who will? Of course, the Jewish partisan press in America has permitted very little of this to reach the public. And many of you in the FBI are unaware of the treason that has gone on, unless you were directly involved in that investigation. After all, you're subject to the same controlled press as everyone else. I realize that I'm simply a former public official in Louisiana branded as a right-wing extremist by the American Jewish-dominated media. But please, you can verify everything I've written here for yourself. I am powerless to stop the treason that's going on against the United States of America. You are the ones in position to do that. And I beseech you to put your loyalty to the Constitution of the United States and the American people first, even if, as Fox News reports, it's career suicide to oppose Jewish spies and American traitors. If you don't, no one will. What I'm asking for you to do is, for those of you in positions who know the truth, to spread that truth about Israeli spying and treachery to the American people. Send your accounts with names, dates, places, events, such as in the DA report, to every media outlet in the United States. Maybe you can find just a few honest members of the press who will dare to tell the truth about the greatest betrayal of America in our proud history. Maybe some of you are nearing retirement and can go public exposing this treason. Maybe some others will take the courageous road and risk all to protect America by speaking out, no matter what the cost is to you personally. I pray so. The truth cannot be kept down forever, but it will die if brave men are not willing to tell it. Thank you very much for your time to read this open letter. Sincerely, David Duke, former member of the House of Representatives, State of Louisiana, United States of America. And that's it. And by the way, there's a fine quote also from the Brit Hume program, which says, and I quote Cameron talking about the FBI and saying, well, seeing the level of their infiltration and their shadowing of the hijackers, they said, how could the Israelis not have known? How could they not have known? The evidence, my friends, is overwhelming, and it's my opinion the Israelis knew. And I think there's enough evidence that could convict Israel in any court of law of knowing this. But the investigation has been shunted from the beginning, and we saw the situation where Michael Chertoff literally let the men go in Bergen, New Jersey, who were caught cheering the attack against the FBI Trade Center. Cheering the attack, not the FBI, but the World Trade Center. So let me say that one more time. There were five Israelis caught in Bergen, New Jersey, who were cheering the attack on the World Trade Center. They failed lie detector tests. The evidence was clear that they had some sort of involvement. And you're going to read more about this in my upcoming article on davidduke.com and in the David Duke Report. That's it for this evening, ladies and gentlemen. I've really enjoyed being with you. And, this program, I think, is getting better and better. I'm hoping that we'll have everything work well and we can get this program archived right away. We don't want to lose this show like we lost last night. But this is a hell of an interesting one, and I think that you're going to really enjoy listening to it. And again, and also letting your friends know about this program so they can hear it as well. Thanks a lot. See y'all later. Bye-bye. God bless and take care.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddude.com.